Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny show. We got a great show for you guys this week. Joining me today is Fran Mirabella.
Hey, everyone.
Jose Otero.
What's going on?
You put a score on the game.
I did, and I survived, even though I'm playing every night.
Yeah.
Every night.
It's quite a good product, and we'll talk more about that later. This week on the show, we're going to talk about the Black Spindle quest that popped up for one day where you can get an exotic and what we think about it. We're going to talk about our favorite exotics so far. It's a new year, new weapons to check out and try out. And finally, Jose, you are going to talk about your review and why you feel it deserved a 9.
Absolutely.
So to open up, I think the coolest thing we all got this week is going to be the Black Spindle.
Everybody did it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Everybody did it. Yeah.
I know.
I did it.
And
you got it, right?
1:55 a.m. it dropped. Yeah. Thank goodness.
So the Black Spindle is pretty much year two's Black Hammer. It's an exotic. You fire 3 precision shots in a row, and it automatically refills your ammo from the reserves. It is a really, really good sniper rifle, but the quest itself was really exciting. Fran, you did it. Why don't you tell us like what you had to do to make this happen?
Yeah, well, thankfully, friends of Fireteam Chat were on, and apologies that I didn't have the names prepared, so maybe a shout-out later. But anyway, so there was a few folks on. I actually hopped into the daily, and I was by myself.
What you doing? Oh, why'd I get
and
this
they sort
exotic?
Of just hopped in. Well, no, like I was like going in there and hoping someone would join. It was already like midnight.
So you knew about Black Spindle?
Yeah, I knew about it. And like I have not had a ton of time to play.
Yeah.
And so I hop in and I'm kind of just waiting for a second and then boom, someone hops in and it was totally like, they're like, yeah, I just did it. You want to do it? I was like, yes, please. Like, let's do it. So
you didn't two-man it, did you?
No, he had someone else who had just did it.
There you go.
So, you know, the way it works, right, is there's a secret pathway as part of that daily mission, the Lost Light.
You
right?
can't. Your whole team can't die, like you died and then go back to orbit.
So you basically complete the mission as you're sort of running back. There's a side path that someone discovered. You go up where you normally chase down, what's his name?
Skolas. Not Skolas.
Tanix.
Tanix.
So anyway, you go up there and you're sort of in that same arena. But anyway, a timer begins once you get through this door. And so you're clearing rooms, then you got to make it to the end, and you got to beat the boss as well as clear the room. And so it's one of those timer quests.
You have to kill everything in the catch in 10 minutes.
And what it is those blights are spawning taken. So if you don't
Nine blights show up. You got to take them out. You got to take out all the taken. You got to take out the boss.
Especially the scions because they just double up every couple seconds.
So it's raid level strategy, actually. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say the difficulty was like raid level, but the strategy was there. We're like, man, these things are coming at you. Mm-hmm. The last room's very hard. But anyway, it's as always with these down to the T. And you had to get everything right. And so it took us about, actually, we were lucky. I think it only took us 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. Some people were in there, like classic, like first Skolas.
Yeah.
When House of Wolves came out, people were in there for like 7, 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, is that a good description of kind of what happened? And then you get
definitely
the Black Spindle as a drop.
Yeah.
So this was,
and you can get a ship and a shader. I didn't get either of those.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
you
wow.
can.
Maybe on like a first run, try or something.
Maybe.
Interesting.
I didn't get
no,
it.
No, I don't know. I don't know what the prerequisite is.
So I in order to get the Destiny review out the door, I stayed up Sunday. We started the raid at 4 p.m. We didn't stop until 4 a.m. That's why.
Oh,
like,
oh, yeah.
I'll bring this up later,
hours.
But the opening graph of the review is 100% based on a true story. Mm-hmm. And so I've been, you know, waking up at different times of day, and it was 4 a.m., and I log into Destiny, and my good friend of the show, Mark McDonald, he jumps into my party and goes, "So there's this alternate exit to today's daily, and if you know, you get basically Black Hammer Year 2, and you have 10 minutes to clear the cache." Mm-hmm. And he's saying all these insane things, and it's 4 in the morning, and I say, "Mark, are you trolling right now?"
He's
like,
in Japan.
I don't understand.
It's only 8 p.m. at night for him or whatever.
He's in Japan. And so I was just like, he's like, "Dude, no, I'm not. It's on the front page of Reddit right now."
Yeah.
No, it sounded fantastic. Yeah. It was like, wait, 10 minutes.
It sounded fake at first, right?
Yeah. I was like, this can't be real. And so we tried in the morning and we failed a bunch of times because by that point, too,
no one
had really figured out a strat. Also, like, we weren't really focusing on the right thing. So the mistake you make when you walk in that room is you want to take out the boss when really you have to take out the blights. So anyway, we failed like 3 times in the morning, and then we're like, okay, screw it. We'll be back at 10 tonight. We'll get it done. We did it on the first try.
Oh, wow.
You know, we studied up later that night. Yeah. And we got it. And it was just one of those like, holy cow, I've got this 310 weapon that then we found out was not supposed to be a 310 weapon.
Yeah, by the way, so if you got a black spindle and it's at 310.
By the way, huge deal.
Yeah, you should infuse it with something else because Bungie is going to patch the black spindle so it's a 290 weapon, which is what all exotics are supposed to drop at.
So
it's actually really important that you consider that it will drop to 290 eventually, or you can infuse it, and if you do that, that other weapon will remain unaffected.
Yeah, they've made it clear they're not going to, if you've infused it into something else, they're
Which
not going to penalize
immediately.
You for that. Yeah, I did it as well. I'm like, I'm not going to attach to this 310. I'm getting rid of it now.
So and then you can...
Infuse or lose 2015.
I love that campaign.
That's your job. Yeah.
Infuse or lose 2015. Yeah, sure.
It's also available to buy at 300, which is also a bug, so you can buy them and infuse... All your weapons should be 300 right now.
So,
for special.
It's a little too late if you don't have it now. But the point is, if you do have it, you want to strategize. Okay, first of all, start buying the blueprints, and hopefully you have some legendaries that you can just infuse that power into. That little bit
or exotics.
Extra.
Get your Tesla up to 300.
Exactly. So you can do that, but then, you know, the Black Hammer itself, that 310, wherever you put that, that's a one-time affair.
Yeah.
So I still have mine. I'm banking on that I'm going to play the raid this weekend, use it.
Then infuse
it. I need
it.
To infuse it. Use it, then infuse it or lose it is where I'm at. Mm-hmm. But the point is, man, I hope they don't do some hot fix on like Saturday or I'm going to be like, no.
Well, they said in yesterday's update that the next patch is going to be in October. So one would assume that's the patch that will nerf the gun.
I have never seen them patch something like that. Their priority list of to-dos, this is not that big a deal.
They did a hot fix where they made it so the Three of Coins acts differently. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did a hot fix for this.
That's
and they did
true.
That yesterday.
But it's already over, right? So damage done, right? Mm-hmm. They don't need to do anything until it comes back again.
Yeah. But they can't stop you from getting 300s right now to,
that is a good point.
To boost up your special weapons.
They can stop me from having enough glimmer to get 300s.
So make sure you take advantage of that. Infuse it or lose it. And the weapon itself is great, though. And this is where, man, the blueprint system, thank you. Like, awesome. Because now I tread that thing, and I know that I can just grab it again.
Yeah,
and it's
for
not
a shard
like the
and
end
a
of the world.
Glimmer.
Well, and it complements infusion so well, because anytime now that you get a weapon, and you have an opportunity to bring that weapon up a little bit if it's below 280 or 290 or what have you. Well, if you buy it from the kiosk, it's 280. But still, that's useful for me because, like, on Xbox, my character is not... 280 or 290 light. He's like at 240 something.
Yeah.
Whereas on PS4, I'm on 299. So it's not quite as useful, but I could at least salvage some weapons I like.
But anyway, very cool mission. Can I actually ask too, do you guys think the idea, I'm sure, is it's always in Lost Light as a daily. So when it comes back, that you'll be able to chase this exotic at any point in time? I assume that's it.
Yeah, but it has to be the daily mission. That was confirmed by Bungie, actually.
Yeah, but
I actually really love this, and that's actually what we're talking about in this segment. It's just like, this is a great new mechanic from Bungie. It gives you a reason to sign on. Like, every day it's like, oh my god, today's daily, you get the exotic that you can only get today. I have to play. And it's really challenging. Mm-hmm. Some people have said it's like raid level strategy.
Yeah, and, it's a very smart direction too, because we've seen Bungie in prior expansions revisit spaces and sort of have missions that go in different directions. But to now find out that in some of them, there is this, you know, I saw on Reddit someone called it like a Star Fox ending, like an alternate path that leads to a different conclusion, but that if you clear it, you're getting not only the marks for the day on the daily, but you're getting something very cool. It's got everyone panicking. Like, now everyone wants to check the daily heroic and say, well, what's the next thing?
Right.
Where am I going to find Sleeper? Is it Simulant or Stimulant? Yeah. I forget.
Simulant.
Yeah, where am I going to find that? Where am I going to find this next thing? Like, it does set off this sort of thinking that what you thought the way these missions work actually doesn't work that way at all.
What I like,
it has everybody, like, there's a whole Reddit thread about, like, here's some other missions and what we think could be possible on them, and they're already guessing.
Of course, they're like, what are the other exits? But there's got to be, like, anyway, time to explore. This mission was interesting that it kind of ended, and then you had, like, the mission complete comes up, and then you're kind of, like, running out. So it was a very unique mission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and when the clue to the whole thing was in front of us the whole time, because if you dismantled Black Hammer, you got a rune that had these markings that matched the markings on the door.
The door.
People put it together afterwards. They're like, oh, my God, like, we should have known.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who could have?
Who discovered
it? I wonder
it?
What you do
That's
with
what I want to know.
My favorite part of that, actually,
was
the thread on Reddit where he basically called out, trying to find it, So the post was by Tachius Taco, and he calls out, thanks to my amazing and idiotic friend, r/user Chattigans, for accidentally boarding the catch. It was a complete accident.
Oh, wow.
I love
They're
that.
They're probably just messing around. Hey, I went over here. Hey, the
do you
elevator.
Think that
oh,
was the
whoops.
First person that did it? Is that the
right
we've seen?
I think that's the first time it showed up.
That's great.
I'm pretty sure.
And then, it just spreads like wildfire.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say, what I like it, I love it and I hate it. I love it because not only does it drop an exotic that I can get, like, guaranteed, thank you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, none more of this grinding for 12 hours. Like, I get a guarantee, and that's awesome.
Again,
it's a reason to play.
Yeah, you only grind for 4 hours.
Thank you. I didn't have to. You know,
hey, it beats getting dissed by the Nightfall is all I'm saying. Like, those were the days.
I got 3 of coins from the Nightfall the first week.
Love,
and this week's tough. So,
this week's really hard.
So I love that. And then actually the boss fight it's fun, you know, it's not like it's nonsense. It really was actually kind of fun to get there in that rush.
Yeah.
So I like that it actually, you know, that pairs well.
There's
what I don't
urgency.
Like though is, now all of a sudden there's this daily and I'm like, crap, if I miss it, I have to, you know, I'm going to miss it for how long? Would it be 3 weeks? Would it be 2 weeks? Who knows?
Yeah.
But then it's a daily. I think it's going to be fairly rotational.
Once a week.
It'll be out there somewhere.
Once a week or every like 4 or 5
days.
But
I only have so much time. So now there's another one of those like, I'm going to stay up until like 3 a.m. Which I did. And I'm like, oh, crap.
You're doing that anyway. Stop
it.
Don't pretend.
I know. But I could have been in the Court of Oryx or something instead.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's really cool. Let's move on to the next topic while we're talking about exotics. Fran, what's the favorite exotic that you've gotten so far?
I love we're back with this segment. Like, what were your favorite drops exotics this week? Right now we're just on exotics. But I wanted the Telesto, this Void Fusion.
I
always
it.
Talk about my old, you know, Purifier 7, which is a legendary. But I just love fusions.
Yeah.
But reading about it, I was like, oh, cool. It's got these, like, sticky fusion things.
And I wasn't excited about this one until you told me what it does.
So the cool part about it is it's not really quite a fusion. It shoots, like, this sticky grenade effect of these fusion things. So they stick to walls, they stick to the floor, they stick to the enemies. So the point is, if you're really close, actually, it'll actually impact the enemy and it can actually
kill
destroy
them.
But they'll still have like the sticky on them as they're like going away, and it'll be like, boom!
Yeah.
And it like hits everyone around them. So Thrall coming at you, very effective for groups. So anyway, it's just kind of a cool...
It's
a great use of... like Bungie's design, like skills, like that's where I really appreciate Destiny. Like some guns are just really cool. That's what they're experts at. Telesto's just really cool. I happen to be a fusion person. I know some people are like, I don't care about it. But I don't care about snipers that much.
I thought you said Tiesto. I'm just here like,
no,
okay.
Not. DJ Tiesto's in the game, and you can... But anyway, Telesto,
good,
cool.
Sounds like a good gun. Yeah.
It's a ton of fun.
Somebody hit me with it in multiplayer, and I'm like, what are they using? And like, I'm like, why did I blow up? Like,
post-mortem.
What's happening? You know?
Yeah, you can get some fun postmortems, too, where like, especially in Control, like you almost maybe got them, and then you died, but then they're like, oh, boom, and it like, gets them after. I wouldn't say it's quite as good for...
PvP.
You know, PvP, but it's a fun gun.
Yeah,
that was the one I wanted, and I actually got the drop, so I'm pretty happy right now.
Almost sounds like when you got headshots on the grunts with Grunt Birthday Skull on, just that satisfying pop.
Boom.
Yeah, that you would get each time.
But it's the delay on this one that really gets you. Like, you'll miss some. The weird part is, like, I think pieces of it can miss. So, like, two pieces will hit the enemy, and another two hit the wall,
and then
like,
they all blow
they'll
up.
Sort of hit different area around them. But, you know, it's got.
What if you get really
damage.
Good and you can, like, mark a bunch of people, basically, and let them blow up?
Yeah, but it's not as powerful, right?
Yeah.
Like, you want to get the power of, I don't know if it's four or five of them. But anyway, it's a really cool gun.
It reminds
it also
me of the
has
gun
a...
from Halo Reach, the plasma that would lock on and then hit people and then blow up with stickies.
Yeah, see, yeah. And that's what I mean, right? They have, like, design skills, and I love that they have some guns that are just clever.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it also has, like, some other stuff, like plus agility when you get some, I think, precision shots and stuff. So it's, it's a nice, nice gun. What about you guys?
Jose, you got one?
So right now, the favorite is a weapon that dropped for me using a 3 of coin on my Xbox character, which I've gone back to Xbox One. I was not farming.
I did.
For the record.
I was.
Yeah. I don't cheat or cheese unless I get frustrated with something. So I may have done that with this week's Nightfall, but I will neither confirm nor deny.
Yeah.
But I will say that the weapon that has I'm most excited about that I've gotten is a Zalo Supercell.
Okay, I don't have that one. That gun, that's the primary, right? Oh,
that
God,
is a
that
arc
gun's
primary. It has I think it's full auto.
It's an auto rifle.
Yeah, it is an auto rifle. Arc damage based. One of the few primaries I've seen with you know some sort of damage modifier.
What's it do?
The two perks that immediately it's just like yes. Persistence. The weapon grows more accurate the longer it's fired because it's one of those guns too that you'll just turn into a bullet hose and try and take something out very quickly. And secondly is Bolts from the Blue. Double kills with this weapon charge a small amount of super energy and return ammo to the magazine.
Oh, wait, you didn't even say its main perk? The coolest thing about it?
Well, the coolest thing is arc projectiles that have a chance to chain lightning when enemies are close together.
So you got a bunch really of thrall or something coming at you. You hit the first one and it's like, bleh, they're all done.
So satisfying.
That's
cool. So cool. I've been exactly. We've awoken the hive many times now, and we're going to continue to. It's a fun weapon to just clear the place out. I really, really enjoy
I've
it.
Heard
I
all
wish
good things about that.
My PS4 character had it. Like, this is going to be the split now where I'm going to get weapons on one that I really like.
Oh, you have that on Xbox, but not
it's on Xbox One my PS4 character.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer. But I bought a bunch of 3 of coin and I'll try because my PS4 character is my more serious character. Like, that's the one that I'm going to be playing the raid with whenever I can.
Yeah.
But I really like that weapon. If we have time for gear, I will just say, so far, I'm excited. I just got this morning the sealed Ahamkara Grasp.
Oh, yeah, from Zer, right?
Yeah, which I was really happy to see someone on Reddit is just super enthusiastic over this gun. Your name is Echo Log.
Here's why they're great.
Here's why they're great. And it's just the full-on argument of, you
He's
know,
like a car salesman.
Double melee charges.
No, they give you double melee charges. Melees have a chance
it's
to fully reload your primary.
This with exclamation. this is for hunters. Yeah. Yes, hunters.
Like, I'm like, yeah,
Hunter Master
had
Race.
The claws of Ahamkara.
Not only that, but they decrease your melee cooldown time.
That's almost how it's written. Melee has a chance to fully reload your primary weapon. Hello.
That's really good.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Let's see, decrease
That's
melee
awesome.
Cooldown time, and they speed up reload times with certain weapons.
I like
and
la-
his more. Last point, which I love, they give you claws and biceps made of steel. Just
what
like
can
that.
I do is put you in the class of Ahamkara today.
Yeah.
Pre-order now.
Is it grasps?
Pre-order now. Only 13 strange coins at Xur this weekend only.
Exactly. So those are grasps of Ahamkara.
We're giving them away.
Yes. Sealed Ahamkara grasps.
I've always liked the name Ahamkara. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah.
I don't. I hate saying it. But Destin, how about yourself?
Okay.
What do you got?
So besides the story of getting Black Hammer Year 2 or Black Spindle, somebody said they should rename White Thread or White Hammer or White Nail to White Thread because it's called Black
Spindle. I was like, what? Where are you going?
Oh, okay. God, I screwed that up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I love the story. Of Black Spindle and how you got it. But another story that's kind of told through an exotic quest is Touch of Malice.
Yeah.
Now, they told us about this one a little bit, and everybody's kind of getting all the calcified fragments because it's part of the quest. And you have to, you have to go kill this witch at the end, and it's really challenging
to
grab. Yeah, a few buddies of mine hopped in and helped me get it. But this weapon is really interesting. Not only does it have an animation on the actual weapon itself, it's kind of like covered in a cloth, and it has this constantly moving circular thing. But it'll never run out of ammo. What it does instead is it takes your life away. But if you get 3 precision kills in a row, it gives you life back, so it evens out. Basically, you never have to reload it, but you have to balance out your life and your kill precision rate and everything using this scout.
Pretty cool.
It's a really interesting weapon. I don't know where I'm going to use it, though. You know, because I'd be too worried about, because you can just shoot the ground and you'll just die if you don't reload.
Right. Like, each bullet is taking life from you.
Yeah.
And so you have to get these precision kills to get it back, right?
Exactly.
That or be equipped something where orbs give you life.
Yeah.
I wish Thorn was like that. Just because I always wanted, the guys who missed. to like take a hit.
Maybe there's a Thornier too we don't know about, like this Black Hammer, where like there's a risk reward system implemented.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to use it. It does sound like it's like tier one enemy style stuff. Where like, is it fast? Is it any explosions after?
No, the whole thing is the whole draw for it is that you never have to reload.
So it's got to be more the tier one enemy fast stuff coming at you. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have a chance to take them out. I assume precision hits with it are pretty strong.
So
what
I
is it? A scout?
Yeah, it's a scout. Yeah. So it's one of those weapons where like you can just use it like a regular weapon and reload. But if you're in one of those tough situations where like you're going for that kill, it's just like, well, I'm just gonna use a little bit of my health and finish the guy off and kill him, you know, before I have to reload.
Right. I mean, your health comes back, though, right? So you could just switch to secondary, right, for a few and kind of go back and forth. But then I'm assuming it's just a pretty powerful scout.
Yeah.
But I mean, scouts, you have a good chance at precision. So
for me, design-wise, it's really interesting for me because design-wise, it looks really cool. There's a whole quest line, and it's pretty difficult to obtain. Yeah. And then, it's really powerful.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow, those are a nice round of exotics that we all got something different that we liked, actually. And
absolutely.
It wasn't the same stuff. Did anyone use the swords much? I haven't got swords yet.
I've been using my legendary sword because I'm working on making it an exotic actually right now.
I haven't got to use swords at all yet. You guys like them?
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're really good for taking out that boss that we fought for Black Spindle.
Yep.
Like, that's how I did
it. Yes, yeah.
Like, I popped a bubble on him and then we all swordded him for 50% damage. The problem we were having is we didn't realize that there was actually a finite number of blights.
Yeah.
So we were like, the blights just keep coming. Let's just try and kill them really quick. And then because we thought he was making
them. I didn't know that. I thought the blights can keep – there's a period of time where they're gone for a while, but I think it comes back.
They come back based on his life.
Okay.
His life percentage.
They're like, I see it's queued up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we sort of mixed and matched on that. But,
yeah.
Yeah, the only thing that surprised me on swords is that using the melee button is how you should use it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have an R2 ability, which at first I was just like, oh, I'm
unless you have the exotic.
When you get the exotic, that'll come in. Yeah. But yeah, at first, after you've been running sword, you know, for Crota or something like that, or using other swords that have dropped in the game, it's a little bit of a surprise, but it's fine. Like, it looks so much better.
It's
cool. The animation's much better. I'm happier with it.
I love the legendary sword. I don't know if I make it an exotic, I lose a legendary sword.
So I thought I read you don't make it an exotic. Actually, you get to keep it. You get
really?
Yeah, I think a good friend of the show, Datto, put up a video, and I believe he said you get to keep your legendary sword.
I'm going to have to check that out.
And you get the exotic sword. So just
I'm in the middle of it, so I don't know. Yeah, but that would be great, because I'm like, oh, man, if I upgrade this, then I'm out of luck.
Yep. Cool. Right. Well, I just wanted to ask
keep impressing Lord Shax. You'll find out.
Yeah, right? I got to do that, too. All right, moving on to the final topic. We're going to talk about Destiny's The Taken King.
The review
IGN. Jose, you gave it a 9. Why don't you talk a little bit about why it deserved that score?
Oh, man. I mean, where to begin?
Read the review, Destin.
Yeah.
What did you not? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, this is for those of us that
I
don't
know, I'm
read.
Joking.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. I mean, going through, first of all, it all started with the campaign and just like how well I feel it tells a story, it has a clear villain. They go through the effort of having like cinematics and really developing characters. Guys like Kate Six, who have always been a part of the game, but who never really had anything meaningful to say or had anything that kind of stood out. Mm-hmm. It was always the disembodied voice approach. So from the get-go, from the campaign, from the very first mission on Phobos, I was very impressed by the direction. And then the more I played, I feel like the more I was discovering that, man, the systems that they have kind of put into this quest system is the way it should have been all along. Like, if you think about the way you played Destiny in year one and how, you know, bounties had quest-like sort of pieces to them, but at the same time, I feel like the ability to carry more is ultimately what makes you not have to go back to the tower often.
Yeah.
And it did feel like you were constantly doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even small things like that sort of took away, chipped away slightly at your one. But anyway, campaign blew me away. The progression felt right, and it felt like I wasn't being cheated. If anything, I felt like I had to make choices constantly because I was like, okay, I really like these legendary gloves, but this blue is so much better. I can infuse, and in fact, I would then learn, okay, like, I can infuse in bursts and get this legendary to move up with me, and so I don't have to get rid of it right away. But what ultimately sealed the deal was King's End.
King's Fall.
No blew spoilers. my no spoilers.
Yeah.
But what
it's fantastic.
The Raid team did with scale, mm-hmm. with puzzles, with design, DPS, team mechanics, and in a way that everyone had an important role. It wasn't, you know, I remember one time on the show we talked about how you didn't like, per se, the fight with Crota because you kind of have a lot of downtime while the guy with the sword is doing his job.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen here. There's always something
Everybody
happening.
Is involved constantly.
Yeah, and that completely threw it over the edge for me, where it was like, this is an experience that I have never had before, even though I've played Raids in this series before, you know, playing, you know, Vault of Glass, playing Crota's End. Completely sealed the deal for me. And if you go in blind, or if you have friends who you can convince to go in blind, like, do it. That is the best way to experience the Raid.
What I'm doing
the first
this weekend.
Time.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
I am jealous of you, sir, because
I'm calling it Virgin's Fall. Yeah. So putting that together.
So, Fran, I'm going to give you one little tip. After you
Don't spoil it for me.
After you open the big door, go to the tower and get a quest.
Okay.
Oh.
Because
so
if
it sounds like a tip for everybody.
Yeah.
So but no spoilers,
that's,
obviously.
That's
it's
pretty
just...
spoiler-free. There's a large door you open. That's all I'm going to tell you. And after you do that, I believe you can get a quest at the tower. And
it'll save you some time.
If you didn't have it already, right? Because I think I had the quest.
Yeah,
I don't know if you can get it.
Okay. Well, let's.
Yeah. All right. No, we don't
want to. In my mind, I'm like, wait, this is some puzzle thing that's now a metagame puzzle, or who knows?
Or are we just trolling you the whole time?
I hope so.
That's the question.
Yeah. But it sounds like, just with the fact that there are like now six levers to pull, so to speak, where sometimes you'd lose a lever while somebody else had something to do. Everybody's a cog in the machine all the time.
Yeah. You need to work
Atheon
together and communicate.
Was a little like that, right?
To a degree.
You know?
Yeah.
But they've exceeded that, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But actually, for those of us who've not played,
Atheon, it's
take
like, are you
Atheon
holding the play
and sort
or
of
as
just,
clear?
If you had to give it sort of a comparison of like, oh, it's like three times better than stuff like that in terms of the mechanics, not the raid, but you know what I mean? Like,
Sure.
How would you sort of compare?
That's a great question.
Encounters are like Atheon at all.
They aren't. And I think that's what ultimately makes the... Oh, complexity-wise, some of them are
maybe,
far more complex
than Atheon.
That's
what I'm looking for. Like,
I mean, there's a couple of encounters in there. I'm talking
maybe about... Maybe the first encounter with a boss.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Atheon level.
But even then, that thing still required a
this
level
so
of teamwork and execution that I don't think I saw. Like, in Atheon, fine. There are.
I'm just saying it's probably the closest example.
No, but I don't want it to be like Atheon. I'm just saying comparative. Yeah. I've played that.
Much better.
Just, so it sounds like everything in there is just so much more refined, right? And so that's cool.
You walk into some rooms, and the level of awe you will have over what they did or what they made.
Or just how it's presented.
Like, yeah, it's breathtaking. Yeah. Like, it really is. It's one of the few times in video games. I've been playing video games a long time. That I sat there and went, like, where do you go from here?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know
like
how
you
can possibly top this, including the final encounter itself, where I did not think it would at all have been how that turned out.
It's
that first
really
impression,
good.
I have
but,
such
but
high hopes.
But let's drag it back a little, right? Yeah. Let's go back into the main game. I mean, I feel like so many things were addressed, from how stingy loot used to be to opportunities to get loot. Like, I feel like there were so many different places in year one where you got slapped in the face by, you know, you did this thing, but RNG didn't work out in your favor. And here I feel like I'm constantly getting engrams to decrypt and to go back and to discover something, and purples pop more often, or I'm getting something with a high number that is ultimately going to affect me and help my progression and not make me feel like I'm wasting my time, because there were times in year one where that could happen. And I'm not trying to say all of year one was that way, but so many things got addressed on so many levels. Destiny, from the start, was always a mechanically sound game, but that was lacking its presentation, and whose end game leveling system was the most bizarre thing you had seen.
Get this specific piece of gear from one place.
And even worse, you need materials to level that gear, and you had to grind for those. All of that is taken away. In a way that I feel like benefits the game greatly. It's a much better game to play now than it's ever been. So that all spelled to me, I had no regrets on the 9. I still wake up and play that game until 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I got to go to work tomorrow.
It's back.
But man,
I absolutely
I got so much done.
Like, my most enjoyable part of the week is going in and doing that raid again with Destiny, you know.
I mean, truthfully, this might be my game of the year. And I'm someone who was blown away by Metal Gear Solid 5. I am absolutely in love with Super Mario Maker.
Yeah.
I'm totally looking forward to Fallout 4. Witcher 3 didn't grab me, but that's
Fallout
not, 4 not might, for this podcast.
Might.
But
dethrone Destiny for me.
The Taken King so far is my game of the year. Mm-hmm. Like, it is fantastic. Even Bloodborne didn't grab me in the way that The Taken King has basically grabbed me.
I had two minor complaints, just like sort of strange things. The blues and greens and purples. It's a little strange that you get purples at 280 and blues at 301, like up to 301. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a little confusing as I was grinding.
Wasn't intuitive.
I'm at 304 now. That's a little confusing. Like, I still have blues that are better than my purples, and I'm not going to infuse it because, like, this has the perfect rate of fire. It's like a year one weapon that I use in PvP. Yeah.
Infusion is a bit of a head scratcher at first, too. Yeah. And you're just kind of like, wait, why does this happen?
How does it work? And it's not really made clear to the user
the text that shows up the first time you infuse is, and you need to do this, and this, and it has to be the same slot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know what I'm doing. But By the way, I figured it out.
You can, like, say you run a Titan, then you want to level a Warlock, you can infuse Titan items into a Warlock item.
Yeah, and that's a great part of infusions. So and if then, you like, do get screwed by loot, you get something.
They should call it is confusion.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Okay.
Another confusing thing is there's this new gunsmith system, and you use the gunsmith now, you can get these bounties. They take up a spot in your inventory, which is weird. They should be in the mission bounties.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, so I don't like that. And secondarily, the weapons you get from him are 280?
No, really?
I do all that work for a 280?
Well, wait. Hold it right there, Buster. Last night, I'm pretty sure I'm not making this up, even though I am slightly delirious from how much lack of sleep I'm having, but I have a 290-plus pulse rifle, Hake,
from the gunsmith.
That I got from the gunsmith. So
the jury's
still out, I think.
Well, hold on. You get package rewards from the gunsmith. Mm-hmm. At a higher light level. I'm talking about the weapons you had to earn, and then you get to
see,
to
but I
pick.
Don't find that
those
so bad.
Drop at 280.
Yeah, well, okay, so it'll
They're
drop at 280, but use a...
This is where it's the whole blue confusion thing, where you're like, I have some stuff
that's
like 294.
I'm 303. All my weapons are 300 and up. Mm-hmm. Why are you giving me a 280? Like, what am I even going to do with that?
But if you like that weapon, let me ask you this. Uh-huh. Wouldn't you
I don't
then...
even know if I like it.
Well, okay, let's take the number out of the equation. I agree the number is disappointing.
I'm
going
to let you finish, but...
Yeah. But I would say that use the weapon, and if you see the perks are something that you like, the roll is a good stat roll. You're telling me you wouldn't infuse that gun to keep it?
It has to be, like, really good. Like,
really?
I don't have a sniper rifle or anything
Destin
that I'm in love with
300 or nothing Ligiri? Is that what I call you?
Light
now?
Is so important in this game, and I have a great gear set right now.
Absolutely.
Why am I going to trade it off for something that's okay that I have to relevel?
So that's my whole issue.
That's a good point. No, I completely hear you. And I do think infusion is confusing. Like, I think it needs to be a little simpler. Yeah. Fran is so happy with himself right now.
What do you got,
Fran? Just came up with it. I was joking about confusion still. But for me, clearly, right, this is really interesting to hear you say this about the raid and how awesome it is because, I haven't got to talk to you about the review yet. And I'm still playing it, and I'm definitely the type of person, I'm like, give me my space to figure this out still. I don't want to, throw a score out there for what it is for me. Yeah. But I was like, wow, that's high. Now I see sort of how that's what's turning you. But you're also, sort of telling people, if you're not playing the raid, maybe you shouldn't be playing Taken King if you can't get those six people together. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that that's a generalization, but it's such a huge part of it.
I mean, I think if you are playing Destiny and you haven't found five other friends to play the raid with, I think that's a priority right now for
it's
you. Like, no offense.
And I thought
if that's
that...
not your type of game, too, maybe Destiny is not the game for you. Like, if you like playing alone, I like playing games alone. Yeah. Destiny kind of got me to branch out a little bit and play a little bit more with other players. So, but it's not something I'm used to. I would have preferred a singular experience.
Yeah, but that exact reason is why, and I've been a strong hater on the idea of raid matchmaking on this show. I've said it multiple times because I feel that a frustrating raid experience makes you not want to play the raid.
Yeah.
But I will say that not having a solution to that or an option to the matchmaking was brought up as a negative because how is the best part of your game something that you have this requirement for and you don't have a way around that requirement?
Yeah.
Like, I hope someday they can figure that part out. Because, yeah. again, if you're listening to this show, you probably play the raid. But if you talk to people about Destiny, that's the ultimate selling point of this game and of this series.
I would have loved to play the raid, but I don't have the time to get five people together.
I was thinking about the early percentages they released like earlier this year about how many people got into the raid over out of everybody, obviously, who touched the game. But it was a pretty low number. I think of active players, it was probably a little higher. But anyway, so can't wait to check that out. It sounds like it will, you know, sway my opinion a lot. I definitely like the improvements to, like the story and the way the Vanguards work together. And Cade's awesome. It feels so much better. It really feels, and like Eris is part of the mix. And there's like where Cade is literally like, whatever, Eris, like, weird. Like, it's totally like really cool, fun writing. You know, they did a good job with that stuff. So I really like all that. I will say, though, that as I'm playing, it's still, you know, the grind is back. It's still very Destiny. And what I mean by that is, man, it is like a language that is so hard to understand to play this game. It is not that accessible. So for those of us who've been playing a lot, I feel like, okay, they fixed this. They changed this. I get this. Awesome. Yeah. For those people, I think it's very, like, a much more awesome experience. I kind of wonder, someone who just steps in, like, what is.
We actually have an article going up on IGN, Zach, who started playing. So
he played. For the first time ever.
He played the campaign and he hopped in and he was kind of lost.
Yeah, but and it's been the first time ever.
No, not ever.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I want to see someone who's never played Destiny.
Actually played for the first time ever.
And what is it like for them? Yeah. That doesn't necessarily take away from this. I just mean it is such a, like, you get, it's easy to get lost in this game.
Well, and it doesn't help for veterans, and I've made this joke with friends, but I've never brought it up on the show, that, like, Destiny is a universe where they cannot seem to settle on currency. Like, we've had Crucible marks, we've had Vanguard marks, we've got Legendary marks, next week it's going to be Exotic marks. I'm so tired of them shuffling
the economy
so much. Like, let's hope that Legendary marks are here to stay.
Because
now it seems like there are enough good places to get it, and I'm not frustrated by it. I just have to make sure I'm putting in the time to get that stuff.
Yeah.
Guys, we're over on time. Any final remarks you want to make? Are we good?
No, I'm totally excited that it's back. It's definitely better than the previous releases. Absolute on that. You know, I absolutely see why Jose gave it a 9. I can't wait to check out the raid. And, you know, I think we need to give people, you know, a couple weeks, several weeks before we can all come back and really talk about the raid without spoiling it for everybody that's listening, you know. But I can't wait to get in there and talk about it.
Cool. Yeah. Now, final thoughts from me are just, you've seen the review on IGN. I did make a comment about Hunters being a slightly selfish class, and for context,
Hunters
are
so important.
When Hunters weren't killing things, I mean, like, things like Courage of the Pack really help Hunters help out the team as a whole, like having a recovery and an armor buff, things like that. They got that, I feel, for the first time with Night Stalkers.
Dude, the tether is so important. The
tether's so good, too.
Yeah.
But no, my last thought is just, hey, play the raid. Like, that is your goal right now, is play that raid and get to experience it. Because I honestly feel like the raid team at Bungie is possibly one of the smartest teams in shooters right now.
You hear that,
and
Luke?
That raid is I feel like that raid is part of it. Those guys deserve all the props they can get. And this raid too, I didn't hear like a ton of bugs like I did with, you know, Vault of Glass or with Crota's End. Like, think about it. Were you seeing that kind of activity on Reddit? Like, it feels like they needed some time, but they got it right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for this episode, guys. Thank you for your final thoughts there, Jose. Fran, you want to do the plugs?
Oh, man, we haven't talked about all the plugs of things in forever. Yeah, I mean, make
T-shirts.
Sure.
Oh, I've been keeping up.
That's right. I haven't been here, so that's why. But, yeah, check out the IGN store. We got Fireteam Chat T-shirts on there. Please drop us a review if you're listening to us or watching us.
Leave us a review. Tell us how much you like Fran's shirt on iTunes.
What is up with that? I'm wearing like a blue-green teal shirt.
He'll never wear it again now that we've said something about it.
It's the fall lineup.
Yeah, but as always, you can also catch us on Xbox One and PS4 and IGN and YouTube. So we're wherever you want us to be, basically. So
yeah, thanks.
All right.
All right, well, that's it for this episode. Until next time, Guardians out.
Come on, Jose. Come on. We'll get him one day.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it,
Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.